Minister
Love
Trouble.
Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. We would like to welcome you to our Tuesday night Praise Tabernacle Church Bible study. And we are so glad that each of you are joining us on tonight for this Bible study. I always like to say before our Bible study, get your Bible, get a pencil, get a paper. And what you want to do is you definitely want to take notes and follow along with the teacher and study those notes and study what the Word of God has to say to you. Don't just take our word for it, but go into the Word and study for yourself. We are so grateful for this day and for another day's journey. We are grateful for everyone that is on the panel tonight. We thank you for tuning in on tonight. We are excited about the word that's going to go forth on tonight, and it is going to be from our own, very own Elder Derek Oliver. And with that, I'm going to turn over the Bible study to Elder Oliver so that we can partake with this word. Elder Oliver, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Evangelist Stanton, and I thank all those that are listening. All those from Praise Tabernacle, all those that are listening from other places as well, we just want to welcome you in tonight, into the panel tonight, Elder Blewett, Evangelist Blewett, Evangelist Stanton, and Minister Tolbert. Just want to thank you guys for backing me up tonight, and you guys always make learning the Bible for me fun. But just listening to y'all, I'm always learning something. With that being said, I'm going to get into my prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson for tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Father God. Father God, I just want to thank you for giving me for waking me up, Father God, putting me in the right mind to serve you, Father God. Father God, I just ask that if anything that is not well with me, Father God, I ask for your forgiveness, Father God, for those knowing and unknowing things, Father God. Father God, I ask that you hide me behind a cross where I'm not seen, but your word is seen. And Father God, give that listener the ear to hear your word and not just be hearers of your word, Father God, but also be followers of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go Matthew's. The fourth chapter, and I'm going to go Matthew 4:1-11, And I'm going to take my time tonight because there's a lot of stuff in verses 1 through 11 I want to talk about. And this is when Jesus, and again, that's Matthew's 4, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV version when I start. But we're going to talk about, this is right before Jesus started his ministry. And right before he started his ministry, he went on a fast for 40 days. And we're gonna talk about that. I'm gonna talk about three different types of temptation that Jesus had to endure. And these same three temptations that he had to endure, I'm pretty sure we have to endure these three types of temptations as well. And another thing that's in this that I just find there's so much in here that I didn't know before that I seen when I was studying this. And I'm going to start with Matthew's, the fourth chapter, and the first verse. And it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I'm going to stop right there. The first verse, Jesus was led by the Spirit. And this is one of the things we have to start doing, but we have to be led by the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit will lead us into the wilderness where Jesus was led, and he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And he was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry because he was human. This was his flesh. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and had nothing to drink. He was hungry. He was, I can only imagine, weak. And the tempter came. And you got to understand, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the devil came. And what we have to know as body of believers is we're going to be tempted no matter where we're at. If we're being led by the Spirit and if we are true believers, believe you me, we are going to be tempted by the devil. And one of the temptations, the first temptation, was in verse 3 and 4, and it says that the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I'm going to stop right there because this first temptation was a physical temptation. And I'm not going to get real deep into it, but if you go all the way back to Genesis and you look at when Eve was tempted, this is the same type of temptation Eve was tempted with. It was a physical temptation. Jesus had not eaten for 40 days, 40 nights, and he's challenging him to turn the stones into bread because he knew that he was weak physically, and he knew that he was hungry. And when we get weak sometime, we fall to that physical temptation. This is what you call a physical temptation because he wanted the stones to look like bread, smell like bread or biscuits or whatever you want to put in there. He wanted him to be tempted in the physical because he was hungry. And I don't know about you, but if you ever went on a fast or you ever just woke up hungry and your stomach growled, the things that you don't even want to eat, it becomes good to you because you're hungry and your mind is playing tricks on you. You want to eat something. But even though he was on a fast, and this isn't just for people that fast, but sometimes if you want something in life that looks good, a physical, something physical, if you want it, he will tempt you with it. And because Amen. Jesus was weak, because he was hungry, this is where we messed up at. He was physically weak, but spiritually he was strong. And this is where we want to cop a plea. And this is where we can't cop a plea when temptation comes to us. Because we might physically be weak, but are you spiritually strong enough to tell your flesh what the Word of God says? A lot of times, and I'm talking from experience, when I'm physically weak, like today, I didn't want to do Bible study. Because I was in pain. I didn't want to do it. And I would have been justified by not doing it because I was in pain and people would have understood. But I had to take the time to study. Now, I could have said, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to study. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that and make excuses. But the tempter was like, you ain't got to do Bible study. You can just throw something on. And then it was a temptation. And as simple as that temptation, I could have okayed it. And what we do as people who live in the flesh, we compromise with temptation because it feels good. And because it feels good, it's okay that we do it because we have control of our flesh. Even though we don't, we think we do. Because if I'm not feeling well, it's easy for me to take some Tylenol and go lay down somewhere and excuse myself of my duties. And everyone, oh, that's fine, that's fine. But see, that's what the devil was doing with Jesus. He knew he'd been in the wilderness for 40 days. He knew that he was hungry. So he tempted him physically, turn the stones into bread, a physical temptation. And a physical, do what feels good. And we've all been tempted of doing some things that make us feel good, that's not lined up with the word of God. We get tempted on a daily manner. You can be sitting at home watching TV and they throw that beer commercial up and it just looks so good, you just tempted to go get one. Or it could be a cigarette. It could be a woman. It could be anything physical that make you feel good. The devil tell you it's okay to do it. So it's very important that we understand the different types of temptation that's going to come at us. And as it came at Jesus, we have to be careful of what we do. Does anyone want to say anything before I move on? All right, we're going to keep it moving then.
Hold on. I don't have my Bible. I'm trying to go back to number one. Number one, first of all, Jesus was led by the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. This reminds me of my husband. It was right after Jesus been baptized by John, okay? When my husband was baptized, the deacons told him, you know, you're going to be tempted, son. Right after, you know, you get baptized, you're going to be tempted. Right after he got baptized, some of his friends, I believe, he could tell the story better than I can. When he used to have to buy his weed, his friend came up to him, man, let's smoke his weed. You know, gave him, trying to give him some weed. Right after he got baptized. So I believe God is showing us through Jesus how we can stand fast on his word. The devil know the word better than we do. Okay, and I'm not sure what far you went down. I think you went down to 3. I don't have my Bible with me. We don't have to prove ourselves to anybody. How far did you get? Did you get to 3?
Yeah, we stopped at 3. 3 and 4.
Okay. Okay, 3, I think he was trying to prove himself and who he was. We don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to do anything to prove. The devil want to know who we are. The devil know who we are, but he's trying to tempt us to do, you know, things outside of God and not in God's will. But if we just stay focused and know your word, getting your word, so you can speak the word back to the devil when he's speaking to you, because like I said, he knows the word better than we do. But we have to stay, you know, focused, you know, on what the word says, what God told us, because we don't have to prove ourselves to nobody. Only thing we hear is put on this earth is to live out our purpose. In God's will. Make sure it's in God's will. And make sure you've been led by the Spirit and not our
Amen.
Own. Because the tempter is going to come. What you going to stand on when he comes? Can you stand on the word? Or are you going to stand on something that somebody told you?
Amen.
I do also have a comment too, Elder.
kind of piggybacking on what Evangelist just said, in the previous chapter, at the end of the previous chapter, Jesus was baptized, and God spoke these words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So there was an announcement made that this is my beloved Son. And then we find Jesus being led into the wilderness. Verse 3 says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God," well, God had just announced, "This is my Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So to me that says we have got to know who we are. We have got to know who we are. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, not only because he came from heaven, but because it was announced in his baptism. So it was like, if thou be the Son of God, he was the Son of God, and he knew he was the Son of God. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have to know who we are in God. Because when we know who we are in God, then we will walk in that authority. But if we don't know who we are, then we don't walk in authority. That's why the enemy can come and just do whatever he wants to do, because we don't understand that we're the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. We have the authority in the name of Jesus because we are born again, because we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So now we have that authority because we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we got to know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And also know who did God say you was? Who did God say you was?
Right.
Okay. And
right.
We have to remember that too. Always who did God say you was? Who are you? What did God say? Don't worry about what man say. What did God say?
That's right. And it's important when we're being tempted that we know who we are and whose we are, because the same way that we're going to see, the devil knows the word too, because the devil came at Jesus with the word. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in temptation by thinking that we're doing what God's word says, and it really isn't. So we got to just be very careful, because he will trick you. You got to know who you are and whose you are, because if you don't know that, the devil can trip you up. And there's been a lot of believers getting tripped up because they thought they were believers, but they was believing on something else, totally different.
Right.
So with that, like I said, it was a physical temptation. He was physically trying to tempt him to do something. And again, I'm going to stress this, on this first temptation, we have to be careful, especially with our flesh, because the devil is going to try to tempt us. If it look good, do it. If it smell good, do it. Whatever it is, do it. That's how he wants to tempt us. And if we don't have the word in us for the physical temptation, fall just like Eve did in the garden, when she could have any fruit she wanted, but she went to the one that she wasn't supposed to go to. And even though it may have looked the same, it may have smelled the same, some religion look like our religion. Some people shout like we shout, but they're not shouting about the same thing. They're not shouting to a savior. They're shouting to a different type of God with a small g. And that's what we got to be careful of. And just because people can say praise the Lord and amen don't necessarily mean that they're a believer. We have to be careful, especially in the physical, because some things that may look like soda may be alcohol. Some things that look like it could be this, it could be that. You have to be careful, because the devil, is, if he could tempt Jesus, he can try to tempt us as well. So I'm going to move on to verses 5 and 7, Matthew 4, 5, and 7. And this is a different type of temptation. And it says in verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." This is what I like to call an emotional temptation. Emotional. Here it is, the devil took him, I believe, to Jerusalem and told him, jump. Now, he's speaking the word to him. He said, because if you're the son, the father is going to protect you. He's going to send his angels down to catch you where you don't even get hurt. He was tempting God. And sometimes, and I like to use an emotional, we want to question God's love towards us a lot of times. And in this temptation, the devil was trying to get him to jump. He was trying to get him to jump to see if God really loves him. And in my example for this is today, I don't know where you're at, but here in Lawrenceville, it's kind of cold, it's chilly, and it's rain. If I go outside with no shoes and no shirt on to take the garbage out, it's a good chance I might catch a cold. And if my wife say, don't go out there, you're going to get sick, and I may say something like this, God got me. By his stripes, I'm healed. I can't do nothing foolish and try to test God to see if he'll heal me or stop me from getting sick. If I'm foolish enough to go out there with no shirt, no shoes on, more than likely, I'm going to get sick. And a lot of times we want to test God like the devil was trying to test Jesus to jump. He got you. He's going to catch you. He's not going to hurt you. Just jump. And God is telling, don't test me. Like, don't test God. We know what God, he said he's going to do what he's going to do, but we have to understand that we have to walk and be led by the Spirit. We can't be testing God that he's going to give us his gifts and his presence just because he said that he's going to do that. There's a condition with what he said he's going to do. We have to be careful, and we can't get emotional because God isn't doing it or we think he's going to do it. We just got to know that he is going to do it, and we got to know that we're in his will. And it's not our will. So when he decides to bless us, he's going to bless us. When he decides he's going to catch us, he's going to catch us. When he decides he's going to heal us, he's going to heal us. It's just up to us to believe it and keep moving. Anyone want to say anything about that before? And I call that an emotional, that was an emotional temptation. Like I said, the devil will come at you emotionally and try to question if God really loves you, by challenging you to do something that you know you ain't got no business doing. And then by backing up, well, God's going to catch you. God's going to be there for you. You can go out on Friday night and do this and do that and do this and ask for forgiveness the next day because God got you. That's, to me, that's what this type of temptation is saying. It's emotional. It's questioning. It's challenging. Do God really love me? I can do what I want to do. I know he's going to protect me. He's going to catch me. That don't mean you can go out there and act foolish and act in any old kind of way. We know that God is going to protect us. We know God is going to love us. We know he's going to wrap his arms around us. But that doesn't give us a license to go out there and do what we want to do. And yet it still is his will, not our will. And if we're doing our will, I'm not going to sit up and say that he's up under... He's going to protect us when we do our will. Now, a lot of times, grace and mercy will protect us when we do foolish things. But right here, when the devil's trying to tempt you to do something that you know good and well you have no business doing, but we want to go ahead and fall for the temptation and do it anyway.
But, Elder, I like the scripture.
All
right, I'm sorry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, if we seek the things of God, our desires will change. And the devil came physically when he was weak, okay, which we addressed. We have to, you know, when we're fasting and praying or when we are vulnerable, and he know what, he catches when we're vulnerable, okay? So the physical, he comes with the physical, and then he give you these desires, the eyes. Watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're desiring. Watch what you're, you know, you're lusting after, or is it covetousness? just watch what you watch what you want, because the devil will fix it up real nice and make it look like, you know, it's of God, and set you up to fail. So for we hadn't dealt with the possessions yet, but we have to be careful. We really have to be careful what we're watching, what we're desiring. Seek God first in everything. You know, pray about everything, worry about nothing. But we have to seek God on the things that we desire and that we want to make sure it's of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. I think I had Minister Tolbert. Were you going to say something?
Yes. I had a comment, and I wanted to comment on the part where you were saying basically don't tempt God, right? So
right. There
was like a current situation that happened within the last, you know, few years. I was online and I saw something where there was a group of Christians and they were out at like a lake and it was like wintertime and it was frozen. And they like made a crack in the lake and in the river where everything was frozen. And they were, they said they were believers. And every now and again, they would go jump in this crack of water where the river was flowing, and they would do that to kind of just, you know, honor God and stuff like that. And they kept doing that. And then one time they did it, and it was a wife and her husband right there, and I believe her daughter's right there. And they were recording it and did that one more time. And I mean, she, as soon as she went down, she never came back up. And that's one of those things where it's just like, you don't want to tempt God. You're saying, you know, you're saying you're a believer. You don't want to put God in those situations, put yourself in that situation, rather, and do things like that. So then even when the husband jumped in to, of course, try to save his wife, he couldn't save her because the current had just pushed her and drifted her away. So we can't try to put ourselves in situations to try to tempt God to go with what the devil was trying to do. Oh, well, you can just jump, and then the angels will catch you, you know. And then for us, that's just like someone trying to, oh, we could jump off the bridge. Oh, God will catch me. No, you're going to catch that cement, you know.
That's right.
You can't try to put yourself in that situation. So that's where we have to look at this, the emotional temptation, and get your emotions in check and really get in tune with Christ to know that it's not all about that. You know, it's not all about trying to do something to show in front of other people that we're Christians by doing something that doesn't make sense per se. We can show it in a better way by just showing love to someone and being a better example, not doing something that we know could possibly cost us our life just to try to prove a point. No, you're trying to tempt God. So that's all I wanted to say. Good lesson so far. That, you know.
No, thank you, bro. I appreciate that. No, you're good. You're good. That was great. That was definitely great. And we have to. I used to do that myself, tempt him by taking my check. This is when I was back in college, spending it all. And thinking the Lord is going to bless me because I put $5 in the offering plate, but I didn't spend the rest on me and hoping and praying that these bills don't catch me or the Lord bless me or someone in the church bless me with something. I was foolish enough to do that. And if you're not careful, you can wind up doing that, getting caught up emotionally. And that's just not a good place to be. And like I said, that's what I like to call my emotional temptation. And the first one was a physical. The second one was an emotional. And then the third one I'm gonna read is Matthew 8:10. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 9, all this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Now, I'm going to stop right there before I say what Jesus said. He took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all of the kingdom. And this is what I call the controlling temptation, a control temptation. He wanted to control him with possessions and worldly goods and power. And he said, I'll give you all of this if you bow down and worship me. And again, I like Jesus' response. In verse 10, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Important because it looked it good. In all them kingdoms, all that power, all that control, the devil will tempt you with if you bow down and worship him. He will give you money. He will give you the job. All you got to do is worship him. And if we as believers, if we don't be careful, this controlling temptation, we will fall under. And sometimes it may not just be a lot of money. It may not be your job status. It may not be your, it may be something as little as your job. In order to climb the mountain on your job, you might have to be spiteful. You might have to be rude. You may have to stab someone in the back to get it. And then when you get it, okay, but you got it the wrong way. You didn't get it the way Christ would have you do it, by loving your neighbor and that type of thing. And it's very important that we got to understand that the devil is coming to tempt us. And he reigns over the world. And he can give you what you want if you worship him. And a lot of people have sold their backs on Christ so they can get the control, the money, the power that they want. We see it in church. You know, people aren't preaching with the anointing no more. They're preaching because they want control. They want the power. They want the applause. It's nothing about the spirit. It's all about what they can get and what they can gain. So it's just important for us to understand that the devil will tempt you in that type of way as well. He will try to give you whatever you want if you worship him. And a lot of people are selling them souls so they can get earthly goods. Not heavenly goods, not spiritual goods, but earthly goods. And they're spiritually bankrupt because they done sold their soul to the devil. And we wonder why. Well, if you don't serve God and you don't make a sacrifice and you don't make a stand and you don't, go with some of the pain, and you do fall to the temptation, yeah, the God will make you look good. He will make you look good. He'll make you look like you're about something. And it's important because in the church, you got a lot of people who have sold their souls, but they're still in church. They're still in church. They look good. They know how to say amen. And through all these scriptures, the devil spoke the word to Jesus. He was speaking word. And if you don't catch it, it may have sounded good. Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross if he would have bowed down to him and worshiped him. He could have had all the kingdoms in the world. But he came to die for us so we can have eternal life, not this earthly life. And the devil was trying to trick him, like he's trying to trick us with temptation. Does anyone want to say anything before I move forward?
I do, Elder. Very good lesson tonight. Thank you for the perspective you brought, the physical, the emotional, and the control. And something you just said, too often it's all about a look. And even with people that go to church, or say that they're Christians, it's all about how they look, how people look at them, and they like that people look at them a certain way. But it's like we should be focused on how God sees us and not people. And too often I think we've gotten away from what God sees and what people see, because what people see is only temporary, but what God sees is eternal. And I think we miss that too often. We're thinking so temporary and we're not thinking eternal. So we allow, like, you know, Evangelist has even said, Evangelist Blue had said, we allow the physical, you know, we may be in a vulnerable state. And with Jesus, it was bread because he was hungry. But we have to examine yourself in your vulnerable state. Is your physical temptation liquor because you like to drink? So, you know, because the devil can't bring cigarettes to me or liquor because I don't do either. I don't even like to drink. I don't like liquor and I don't like cigarettes. But he knows what to bring to me that would bring that temptation. So I have to be mindful to keep my mind renewed daily in the Word of God. And then, like you said, the emotional. We have to check our emotions as we go through this journey. We have to submit and surrender ourselves unto God daily so that we don't walk in those emotions, so that the enemy can tempt us with our emotions and then control. You know, that is the enemy's ultimate vice, is to take control of who we are in our thoughts. And if it begins in our thought, if he takes control of those thoughts and he plants them in our head and we start acting upon those thoughts, then it goes down to the physical as well. It goes to the emotional as well. We begin to act out those things in our body. But because we're concerned about what people think. But what we have to do is be mindful. What does God think? How does God see me? Am I doing the things to please Christ? You know, so thank you for this lesson tonight.
And one of the things I want to bring out real quick, because, you know, I've been in church a long time, and I believe right after my father died, 93, maybe 96, 97, I was preaching, and I was one of the ones at that particular time. It wasn't about what the Lord thought. It was about what people thought. If I can get an applause, if I can get an amen, that was my fuel. That was my focus. That was my will. And it wasn't about God's will. I got caught up into self. So when temptations came to me, I thought I was winning, but I was actually losing, because it wasn't about what God's will was to be done. I was consumed with getting an amen. I was consumed with being asked to pray. I was consumed. That's a good job. You're going to be there. I was so wrapped up into the image of what it was that I lost focus. And it's easy for the devil to tempt you when you're not focused and when you're not doing his will. That's why in these scriptures, it's very important. The Lord was led by the Spirit. See, he was led by the Spirit. He was weak physically, but spiritually he was strong. And we use the physicalness and the physicalness of us being weak as an excuse to fall to temptation. Okay, we know you're hungry. We know you haven't eaten. We know you're fasting. But how much word do you have in you to talk back to the devil, temptation? And see, what we do, we don't even want to challenge the temptation. We just fall for it because I ain't eaten in 40 days. Or because emotionally, it feels like the right thing to do. And that's why we have to understand the devil knows the word. And not only the devil knows the word, he will trick you with the word and make you think you're doing the right thing. It's okay for me to do this. It's okay for me to do that. Long as I have control over it. Long as I'm not pissy drunk. Long as I'm not too high. As long as I have safe sex and put a condom on, I'm okay. And see, these are the things that the devil will trick you with. Won't nobody even know. There was a group of ministers, and I was sharing with my wife because she used to go to the church, and they were riding bikes, and I just happened to be in the park with my son, and we stopped and we talked. Now, these was bishops and a couple pastors and a couple of their flunkies that was with them, and we was in the park. And I was with my son. I went to speak because I was being courteous. But if you would have heard the conversation that came out of their mouths at the park, And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this isn't right. These men of God talking about what they're talking about. And it just dawned on me, you know, long as they keep it amongst themselves, it's okay. That's why I'm very outspoken when it comes to sin, because that's what they were doing, but it was covered up. And the devil had the temptations right there in front of them for them to talk about. And it makes me sick now, because I used to be like that. But now that I recognize it and I see it, we have to be careful as believers, because we can get caught up in that world. I was caught up in that world. And then when temptation comes, you think that you're exempt from the temptation, and you're not. So I'm anyone have anything else they want to say before I get to my last point?
Just want to say this one thing. This is a great lesson, great conversation. So let's read verse 2 and 3. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards unhungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So this is the only place in the Bible where Jesus is perceived to be weak. Only place in the Bible. But this was written for us about our flesh when we are weak. This is written for us when we're going through things and our flesh kind of takes over more than our spiritual guidance. So, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, see, the tempter can't come unless you're weak somewhere. And he's only going to penetrate or try to penetrate where you're weak at, right? So if we know the Word of God and we stay in the Word of God as much as we can, because you can't do it 24 hours a day, but as much as we can, I would advise that we stay in the Word of God, that when certain things come about in our lives, we'll have some type of word in us to protect us, right? So Jesus was portrayed in the flesh. This was his flesh that was to be weak, but it wasn't. We know because he had the Word of God in him, and he was the Word of God, and he was God, right? So we got to be careful, and when we get tired, we got to be careful when we're going through something. We got to be careful what people say to us, and when I say that, it's to trigger our emotions. We got to be careful of the triggeration, if that's a word, of our emotions. Because that's what the devil plays with. He came to tempt, just like he came to tempt Adam and Eve. And what he did was sow doubt in the Adam and in the mind of Eve of what God really said. He sowed tree of life or the tree of knowledge and good, or when they were talking, having that conversation, it sowed doubt in her mind. Oh, God don't want you to be all this and that. That's what he's sowing in her mind. He's hiding something from you. But if you eat it, you will see things for what they are. So we have to be careful. Great lesson.
Thank you, Elder, and great point. A lot of times, you know, if it appeared that he was weak, and I'm just using, you know, if any of us had fast 4 days, I know we would be weak. But if you have the word in you, if you have it in you, I ain't saying like you said, Elder, it's impossible to do 24/7. But if you have something in you, you may physically and flesh be weak. Spirit is always strong, and that's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn to keep our spiritual self strong. You know, we may be tired, we may be hurting, but it don't hurt to hear the Word of God. It doesn't hurt to read the Word of God. It doesn't hurt to listen to praise and worship. I mean, you're building your spirit up for when you do get weak, you have something to attack what the devil will, to have something to attack the devil when he attacks you through temptation. And I got, like I said, there was three types of temptation. It was a physical, it was an emotional, and it was a control type of temptation. And there's four things in this lesson that I've learned that I hope that you see it as well. And the first one is no one is exempt from being tempted. No one is exempt from being tempted by the devil. Temptation is not a sin. I'm going to say it again. Temptation is not a sin. If you act upon the temptation, then you sin it. But just because you're being tempted with something don't mean that you're at sin. So just remember that. Just because you're being tempted don't mean you're sinning. Now, once you carry out the act, then, of course, you're sinning. Number three, respond to the temptation with the word of God. Every time you be tempted, have some word in you to fight the temptation. And then the last one I got is pursue the will of God. If you pursue the will of God and you respond to temptation with the word of God, and you understand that just because you're being tempted is not a sin, and then you also got to know that you're not exempt from being tempted by the devil. The devil is going to tempt you on all three phases, physically, emotionally, and control. He's going to tempt you. And just because he tempts you don't mean that you're doing anything wrong. You must be doing something right. Now, the same way Jesus did, you have to bring the word of God out. No matter how tired you are, no matter how sick you are, no matter what the situation may be. And then the most important thing that I see here is in verse 11. And this is why it's very important that you got to have people around you. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. See, a lot of times we could be winning the fight of temptation, but who do you have around you to minister to you after the temptation? A lot of times, and I'm just speaking from experience, and I think a lot of y'all can speak from experience too, after we get done being tempted to do something that we know is wrong, more than likely we got some friends trying to encourage us to do what we just said we wasn't going to do. And it to me, it's just like I don't understand it. But then if you surround yourself around people who's going to uplift you, and give you a word. Sometimes they don't even know that they're giving you a word. They're giving you strength. They don't even know it. That's why it's important. You got to have a good supporting team around you. And they ain't even got to know your business. But when they call you, they'll give you a word that you may not even know you needed, but you got it anyway. They may give you a blessing that you didn't even know that you were getting. You got to have a good supporting cast around you in order to make this thing work the way that it wants. The way that it should work. And I'm just saying that because the angels came around him. I'm sure that it came to restore him, to lift him up. Have that around us is very easy to slip into temptation. If I like to watch, and I'm just using this as an example, so if I like to watch porno movies, and then here come my friend, he going to give me some free sites to pour. Soon as I said I wasn't going to do it, then here come a knock on the door. Hey, I got this for you. That's because the support they're going to encourage me to do, they're going to encourage me to do stuff that I know that I shouldn't do. And because I'm weak in that area, I might just say, yeah. It could be that with alcohol. It could be that with drugs. It could be that with any type of thing that you're going through that can tempt you to do the wrong is right there in front of you. But if you have the right surroundings by you, that's why it's important for us to support one another, encourage one another, uplift one another, because we never know what someone is going through. We never know when how you're doing. And just because you're saying how you're doing, it could just make the world a difference for somebody. Call on them and they're sick and they're depressed. You just want to give them a uplifting hand because you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know where their thought process is. You don't know if they're thinking they're in so much pain. They just want to end their life. That's why it's important that we as believers, we have to understand our role. We have to understand what we're supposed to be doing as being followers of Christ. And we have to understand that this temptation is very serious. And a lot of people who say they're believers are committing suicide. A lot of people who say they are believers are falling away to wayside to temptation to do things because they're not built up. They're not strong enough to handle it on their own. They're being tricked by the devil, thinking that he can handle it all by themselves or don't know what to know about it. So we have to, as bodies of believers, I know this is a, I like to call it a basic lesson, but if you really look at it, it's very deep. It's very deep. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He was led, spiritually he was led. And see, if we're not being led by the Spirit, trust you me, the devil is coming to tempt you. And if you don't have nothing in your spirit, if you don't have nothing in there to give out, more than likely we will fall to temptation. And I, and for me, long time ago, all I wanted was the applause, the amen, and good job. That was enough for me.
Amen.
And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be because now it ain't even about what the Lord is saying. And a lot of times we forget about the Lord because we don't have a relationship. And in order to have a relationship, you got to know the word of God. The only way you're going to know God is you got to read his word. I believe that you read his word. That's how you get to know him. Read his word. That's how you get to know him. If you don't understand it, keep reading his word. Pretty soon you will understand it. And I'm going to say this. There's a lot of things about my wife from day one I didn't understand, but in year five I do understand. I didn't understand it the first time. Didn't understand the second time, but now I understand it. Because in time, you will understand it. You may not understand everything in the Bible right now, but in time, if you just keep reading and reading and reading, it will come to you. That's why you got to put the time in. And that's why it would be easy for you to deal with temptation, just like it was for Jesus. I ain't saying it was easy, but if you know the word, you can. The devil will flee from you for a season, and then you'll be able to keep it going. And you won't fall. Just because you're being tempted don't mean that you're sinning. It's when you fall to the temptation. It's when you begin to sin. Man, that's a whole nother story, yes, a whole nother how you got to get around that.
Yes, sir.
And that's really all
hey,
I
Elder,
got tonight, fellas. That's it. Go ahead, Elder.
Before Minister Tober jump in. So let's take into account that the devil already knows. He already knew his demise. He already knew he would be defeated by Jesus. So when he thought he had Jesus in a weak spot, it was by the word of God that Jesus defeated the devil. That word in you. Get that word on you. Study lessons. Study what the word of God is about. Even if you don't understand, as you said earlier, even if you don't understand, you will have the word in you that God will reveal what you need in revelation when you get into situations, if that makes any sense. So the devil already knew his demise. You know, he already knew his ending. And when he thought he had Jesus, it was by the word of God that Jesus defeated him. So we have to keep that into account. Jesus showed us in the flesh, even when you weak, the word of God is strong. Even when you weak, the word of God is powerful. So we have to get that in us, and I'm speaking to everybody that's listening. Get that word in you that when you need it, God will bring it out of you at the time when you're weak.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. And that's pretty much all I got. Just remember, physical temptation, emotional temptation, and controlled temptation.
Elder Oliver,
Mr.
can I
Ryan.
Add?
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm
before
sorry. Go ahead, Minister.
Yes, sir. I don't know how Elder Blewett knew I was going to say something. That must have been God speaking to him. But I just like to add something, and then I'm through. This is a beautiful lesson, by the way. I love the way that you put everything together. You talked about temptation and, you know, the different types of it. But one thing I want to add is when you're talking about the devil and dealing with the devil and how he creeps in, I noticed when I look over the scriptures how the devil, when he comes, he comes strong and he comes from all angles. So, for example, this is what God had gave me on what he did within this lesson. So, you know that he comes with the temptation. He comes with sin. So, guess what he's doing? So, we know that all sin falls into three categories, right? And if you look at what he did, he took Jesus when he was fasting, and then he wanted to give him, of course, the bread, and he wanted to tempt him at that point, make this bread.
he wanted to tempt him at that point, right? But we know that he was in the flesh, and that's something that he needed. So that's the lust of the flesh that he came at that angle. But then he also came and he showed him the kingdom. When he revealed unto the kingdom that he wanted him to worship him, wanted him to worship the devil. See, now he's tempting him with the lust of the eyes. And then the last one that he's tempting him with, when he came and he told him to jump, and I'm going to take a different angle on this, when he told him, you know, jump in a sense, and that the angels will catch you. Basically, God got you. So now you're saying that, okay, well, even no matter what I do, God got you. So you want to have to pump yourself up to feel like no matter what, oh, I could do this and I could do that, I'm protected. No, that's now it's the pride of life. So he came from all three angles in one time, in one setting during that lesson. He came from every single angle, on all angles of sin. Lust of the flesh,
yes, sir.
Lust of the eyes, and lust of the eyes and pride of life. He came through all ways. I just wanted to add that. And that's it for me.
Hold on, this is like you ready to preach right there. Okay, right, hold up. Now, I would oppose the question. What do we do when we're thrown? What are we doing? How are we even resisting the devil? Or are we giving in to greed? You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. Get all I can and can all I get. You know, and just the pride of life. Just, you know, you think, just how are we walking into these temptations? And how are we handling it? We have to really, really examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Because I'm telling you, so many people are falling, you know, from our eyes, just wanting, the more God blesses, the more we want. It's just the greed, just the want. Just how are we handling things? Is it God's way or our way? Or is it your way or no way?
Amen.
What we do for Christ don't last. So why not do it for him?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. You know, you know, what are we doing? And a lot of times, you know, I know we all sit here and we don't judge people or anything like that. Well, we shouldn't. But in our walk, we see people. We know people. And then if you know, I have friends that I know that are struggling with things, but they think they're okay. It's not that I'm judging them. It's just you see it. And when you see that sin, you smell it. And I'm just going to go out and say it. But if you had a Holy Ghost and you're walking and you're being led by the Spirit, it's kind of hard to fool a believer. You can smell it. You can sense it. You may not know, but like there's something in the air now. There's something. Because people, this temptation is taking people out. I'm not saying it because I'm teaching it. I'm saying it because the Lord is showing it to me and it's around me. And I can, that's why the Lord had me bring it out tonight. He didn't want me to teach tonight. I had an out. Bishop said, hey, if you don't feel it, just throw in a rerun. See, that's an out. And sometimes it is good to throw in the rear. I'm not knocking it, but the temptation of the devil, he was trying to use it so I couldn't get this out, so I wouldn't be able to study. Then when I don't study, then guess what? I don't study as much. When I don't study as much, I don't get to know the Lord that well. If I don't know the Lord that well, I don't know what he's telling me. And if he's leading me, then I know that he's with me. But if he's not leading me, and this is what we said in the very first chapter, he was led by the Spirit. And in order to be led by the Spirit, you got to be willing. Willing to do what? Willing to do the Lord's will, not your will, not my will. And that's where we mess up, is right there in that very first. He was led by the Spirit. My question to you, who are you being led by? Because when the temptation comes, the word will come out. because you're being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is with you. In other words, the Lord is right there with you. You have no choice but to speak the word out. But if you're not being led by the Spirit and you're just being led by you, then what comes out when you can be tempted is what you want. And that's the truth. And the truth will set you free. One of the things I'm trying to do, and I'm done, Evangelist Stan, you can go ahead because I can keep talking all night, is to quit drinking Pepsi. That's my goal. But I'm losing this battle. I'm trying, but I'm losing. Because every time I sit down and I see something, I always say a Pepsi would go good with that. And then I go get me a Pepsi. So with that being said, I hope y'all guys learned something tonight. I hope you learned something. It's definitely an honor and a privilege to be able to be a part of this Bible study. And I'm going to turn it over to Evangelist Stanton.
Amen, amen. Great word, Elder. Great lesson on tonight. And like we always like to say, and even Evangelist Blewett said it tonight, self-examination. We all have to take a self-examination. And I know Elder Oliver had mentioned something about not judging others. What about we judge ourselves to see where we stand with the Word of God? Judge yourself. Look at your life. Look at yourself. Look at what you're doing. You know what you do every day. You know what you don't do every day. You know if you truly do study the Word of God. You know if you pray. You know if you worship. You know. Others may think that you do it because you look that way when you're around them. But like I said earlier, what does God see? Truly, what does he see? So take a self-examination. Is there anyone on the panel would like to say anything before we get ready to close out on tonight's lesson?
Yeah, I'll say this. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder. Thank you, Elder, for that. Great lesson on tonight. Somebody did text me and ask me those 4 points that he made at the end. The 4 points, number one was no one is exempt from being tempted. Number two, temptation is not a sin. Acting on the temptation is the sin. Number three, respond with the word of God. I always like to say, have a "it is written" in your mouth, just as Jesus did. It is written, and Elder Blewett even said it. You have to study the word so that it can come up. Even if you don't understand it, study, read, study, read, study, read, study, read, because when you get into that situation, the Holy Spirit will bring the word up so you can have it. It is written in your mouth. And number four, pursue the will of God, not your will, but pursue the will of God. We just thank you, Elder Oliver, for that lesson on tonight. Just a reminder, we do have an email address. If you have any prayer requests or if there is a lesson or a topic you would like for the panel to study and bring the word to, email us. Your name will remain anonymous. No one has to know who asked for the topic, and you can ask for any topic, and we will study and tell you what the Word of God says, not our opinion, but what the Word of God says. Our email address is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, for F-O-R Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T @gmail.com. Send us your praise report, your testimonies, your prayer request, or if you have a topic that you would like for us to handle at Bible study. We will study it and tell you what the scripture and the word of God says about that topic. on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his beautiful wife, First Lady Pamela Zachary, we thank you for joining us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. You can also join us on Sunday morning for our Sunday morning service at Praise Tabernacle. It does begin at 9 a.m. You can catch it on Blog Talk Radio, or you can catch it on Facebook. And then also Monday night for DNK Bible Break with our own Elder Oliver and his beautiful wife, Kisa Oliver, on Monday night at 7 o'clock on Blog Radio. And then once again on Tuesdays, 7 p.m. for Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. We thank God for each and every one of you. We pray that you got something out of this lesson. We encourage you to go back and study the Word of God and ask God how to apply it to your life. Don't just take our word for it. Study it also. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love, your peace, your joy. We thank you for the word on tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that we would take a self-reflection of the way that we're living each and every day, and we submit and surrender ourselves unto you. Thank you, Lord, that this word is for us to help us do better, to help us live better, and to help us to walk out this life each and every day. I pray, Father God, everyone under the sound of my voice, if they don't know you as their personal Savior, that they will come to learn and to know who you are as Jesus the Christ in their own personal lives, because their lives can be transformed. They can be delivered, healed, and set free in the name of Jesus. And as we always like to say in Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Have a blessed week, and look to God, because he can see you through. In the name of Jesus, we give you God. We give you, Father, praise. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.